Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Wes Goldberg, Warriors beat reporter for the Mercury News. It's Friday, so I'm opening up the mail to answer the questions you sent to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email to me at wgoldberg@bayareanewsgroup.com. Today's questions include if the Warriors should pursue Chris Dunn and if they have their own version of Bam Adebayo on the roster already. But we'll start today's show with a preview of next week's minicamp.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Warriors will begin their voluntary minicamp on Monday, giving them a chance to get on the court for the first time in 6 months. But as I reported on Thursday night, Steph Curry and Draymond Green are not likely to be there when minicamp starts just because of family reasons. Draymond Green doing his thing over on TNT. Steph Curry, I guess, is just, no reason to leave his family right now for this voluntary workout. Still, it should give the Warriors an opportunity to get some much-needed work in. On Monday, the Warriors will report to Chase Center for testing and then quarantine at a hotel in San Francisco for 2 days before beginning group workouts on Wednesday. Now, this won't be the time for the Warriors to implement new schemes or anything like that. Steve Kerr is planning on this being more like a pickup game and a chance for players and coaches to catch up because, in non-social distancing times, players would typically, be playing pickup ball in the offseason, be able to interact with one another and all these things. And so they haven't had that opportunity to do that. And so Steve, I talked with him Thursday night and about what he was planning. And originally, I think he had the intent of going in and going over the playbook and doing all these things. But then he said he wanted to back off of that, make it a little bit more casual, a little bit even more relaxed, just try to get the competitive juices flowing and some pickup style things. They'll have like group speakers or guest speakers talking to the group throughout this 2 week process and all these things too. But, and then Steph and Draymond, even though they won't likely be there to begin this thing, they could end up joining the camp at any point during those 2 weeks. Obviously, they'd have to test negative for the coronavirus and then, quarantine for those 48 hours. But then they could obviously join the group after that. But the Warriors will at least have a chance to see Klay Thompson in person, Kevon Looney in person, and see Andrew Wiggins a little bit more. Wiggins, of course, has already been working with the Warriors coaches at Chase Center. So, and then Looney, he's rehabbed well throughout this offseason. Everybody I talked to about Kevon says that he looks good and he should be ready to start next season. And then Klay Thompson, of course, has been rehabbing that ACL and that left knee for more than a year now and should be ready to go for that mini camp. And I think they're really looking forward to seeing what he looks like off of that knee. So, look, throughout this 2 week process, we will obviously be talking about it here on this podcast. I'll be writing about it over at themercurynews.com. We will have a chance to on Zoom talk to the coaches and the players on a daily basis. I think they're going to have an opportunity here to really get a lot done. But I think the most important thing is that they're not going to have to go 6 months or really longer than that. I mean, if next season doesn't start, I mean, it could be 9, 10, 11 months before they even play again, based on what we're hearing, if next season starts in February or March. So, that's the last thing that they want. And you look at these other teams that are at least competing in the bubble, and these are the teams that the Warriors are going to be competing against ostensibly next season because they believe that they're going to be contenders. And so teams like the Nuggets and the Lakers, I mean, they get to play into October, right? So they're going to, they're not going to be as rusty as the Warriors if the Warriors didn't have this camp. And it's going to be them and the other seven teams not invited to the bubble. They're all going to be able to hold their own local mini camps. Again, voluntary. But it's going to be important, at least for the bulk of this roster, to get some work in. Guys like Draymond and Steph, they get their work in regardless. They'll be okay. But it's when we talk about like the younger players like Marquese Crisk and Eric Paschal and Jordan Poole, like they need to get some work in. And I know that the Warriors have been concerned about not being able to do this. They were among the teams, I think, working with the NBA the most on getting these mini camps set up. They were pushing for it the most, getting these local mini camps set up. And I think they're really happy with the result, and I think they're going to take advantage of the 6 weeks as much as possible. But that is the preview for next week's or mini camp starting next week. It'll be a 2-week mini camp, and then and of course we will have content for you throughout those 2 weeks. This is Locked On Warriors. We are going to open up the mail next. All right, we're opening up the mail. Got a bunch of great questions about what Leandro Barbosa's role is going to be, some of the things that Bob Myers might be looking at to do this offseason. But let's start with this question from Jordan Sheehan, who writes in, do you think Marquese Chriss could be our Bam Adebayo? No, I don't think Marquese Chriss could be the Warriors' Bam Adebayo. Marquese Chriss is a nice player, but he's very much just, he's a limited player. He's a rim-rolling five. I don't think he can play the four the way that Bam did for Miami. He's good enough defensively where he made some progress throughout the year, but he's not all NBA level like Bam. And he's not the passer that Bam is either. Like, Marquese Chriss is nice facilitating out in the high post, dribble handoffs out on the perimeter, but Bam is a ball handler. He'll bring the ball up like a point guard, and he'll run offense. You're not going to ask Marquese Chriss to run offense. But I do think that Draymond Green is Golden State's Bam Adebayo. Right? I mean, he is sort of like Bam Adebayo is the evolution of Draymond Green, basically. And I think that what you're seeing in the playoffs right now, with not only Bam for Miami, but what Nikola Jokic is doing for the Denver Nuggets, playmaking centers are so important in today's league. And that really did, I'm not going to say it started with Draymond Green, but the Warriors definitely took it to another level with Draymond Green playing the five in those death lineups. And I think that you're going to see a lot more of that next year. Steve Kerr has already acknowledged Draymond's going to play a lot more five next year. Even if he's up there in age, it doesn't matter. He's going to be playing center. And it wouldn't shock me if they started Draymond Green at center. Now, I don't think that that will necessarily be the case. It makes a little bit more sense to preserve Draymond Green, play him next to a five, maybe, you know, preferably a floor spacing five would be ideal. The way that, look, Miami played Bam Adebayo at power forward for most of their season with Myers Leonard or Kelly Olynyk playing center. And you know, you go to the playoffs, and now Bam Adebayo is their center. And I think that was the biggest adjustment in the postseason so far, was just starting the playoffs with Bam at the five. And I think the Warriors could do something similar, where you go into the next regular season, and you say, look, Draymond, you're going to be our four. We're going to go out and get a floor spacing five of some kind. Maybe it is Myers Leonard. Maybe it's somebody else, like a Marc Gasol or Serge Ibaka or something like that. But you do that, and then in the playoffs, it's a heavier dose of Draymond Green at center, because when you have a guy at that spot who can facilitate offense, now you've got a guy in the middle of the floor who is a little bit bigger of size. You know, Draymond's 6'6", 6'7". Bam Adebayo is roughly the same. He's a little bit bigger, but you know, he's still a guy who can see over most of the defense, get guys involved, and not be a negative at the center spot like a lot of these, you know, traditional centers tend to be. And so I think the Warriors will probably lean even more into Draymond's playmaking next year, seeing just how effective it's been so far in the postseason for teams like Miami and Denver. Carl Chan writes in, will the Dubs pursue Chris Dunn? He'll be a great backup point guard, and he's really good at defense. Well, Carl, he is really good at defense. He's one of the best defensive point guards in the league. I love guys like Chris Dunn. Okay? I know this question is in reference to a recent story by Tom Haberstroh, who basically said the same thing that I've been saying for weeks, that the Warriors aren't getting Marcus Smart, because I don't think the Celtics are trading Marcus Smart. And I think that's extremely evident now, based on this postseason, that they could trust Marcus Smart, even if they did decide to move him. And the only reason, by the way, that they would was because they've got salaries coming up, and they might not want to pay this huge roster bill. But this is a championship team, the Celtics are. And they have always, that ownership group has shown a willingness to pay for championship caliber teams in the past. But even if they were to move off Marcus Smart, they're not trading him to the Warriors, who they could meet in the finals potentially. So I don't think that the Celtics are trading Marcus Smart. And if they do, for whatever reason, they're not trading him to Golden State. I've been saying that for weeks. Haberstroh said it in a recent piece too. And I thought it was interesting that he pointed to Chris Dunn instead. So if the Warriors indeed want a player like Marcus Smart, Chris Dunn is kind of the guy, right? He may not. The Bulls are going through a transition. They may not pick up his $7 million qualifying offer, and that could make him a free agent. And if that's the case, I think the Warriors should really consider him, because you're going to need a guy to guard other point guards. And he is so good defensively. I mean, really good. I mean, he's not Marcus Smart level good, but he's up there with, like, you know, Kyle Lowry's and Lonzo Balls and guys like that. It's a novel skill set to be a point guard who can guard other point guards at an elite level. He got snubbed from the all defensive team. He should have made it, but you could play him next to Steph and Klay. I still have questions about what Klay is going to look like next year defensively, right? We know that 3-point shot's going to be there, but he's coming off of that knee surgery. Do we really, in the past, Klay Thompson was the guy that would pick up the opposing point guard, the opposing lead ball handler, and he was able to do it, but we don't know what his lateral quickness is going to be. We don't know what his conditioning is going to be coming off of this knee injury, and that's why the Warriors, at the end of the year, had Andrew Wiggins guarding other point guards, because they wanted to see if Wiggins could do it. Now, in certain matchups, you're going to need Wiggins to guard the other wings, too. You're going to need several wing defenders in today's league, and so if you go out and get Chris Dunn, he's a guy who could pick up opposing ball handlers and relieve Steph Curry of those duties. You can hide Steph a little bit easier on defense. And the Warriors in general, like regardless of position, they need to get better defensively. And I think the only way to really get better defensively, adding Klay Thompson and Steph is going to help, right? Getting a full year of Draymond Green healthy is going to help. You're going to get some natural development from guys like Pascal and Chris, but that's not going to be good enough to go from the 26th rated defense in the league to a top 12 defense, which you kind of have to be legit title contenders. The only way they're going to get better defensively is to add significantly better personnel on that end, and Chris Dunn would do that. Nicholas writes in, the Warriors brought in Leandro Barbosa to do some hands-on coaching and mentorship. It was reported he's working with Andrew Wiggins the other day. Does that indicate that they're invested in Wiggins long-term and not looking to package him in a trade? Yeah, I can confirm, Barbosa has been working with Andrew Wiggins. Steve Nash, actually, before he left, was working with Andrew Wiggins quite a bit before Nash took the Brooklyn Nets job. And so Barbosa comes in, kind of replaces Steve Nash in a bit of a way. And in doing so, I think he picks up the Andrew Wiggins thing, assignment, right? Because all these young players on the Warriors kind of have their player development coaches. And it would make sense if Leandro Barbosa became Andrew Wiggins' player development coach. And Wiggins is deals with Aaron Miles quite a bit as well. So the Warriors have been sold on Wiggins. Not sold, but they've been committed to seeing if Wiggins is a core piece since they traded for him in February, okay? One of the reasons they traded for Wiggins is because of his positional fit with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. Like, he just slots in easily at small forward. And I think they really appreciate that basketball fit. And so if Wiggins works out, they've got a good player who can slash to the basket. He's a really good athlete. He could defend multiple positions, again, if he shows commitment on that end. And they just need him to make open jumpers when he gets the opportunity. And so if he does those things, he's going to be a long-term part of this Warriors team. Of course, the contract is helpful as far as trying to stack salaries in a potential superstar trade. If that superstar trade is available, if Giannis says he wants to go to Golden State, if Joel Embiid says he wants to go, if something like that happens and a superstar trade is out there, well then yeah, you would obviously include Wiggins' contract if that's what the other team would be willing to take. But it doesn't mean, this isn't a D'Angelo Russell situation either, where you acquired him in order to move him later for a player who's a better fit. Wiggins is a good fit positionally with this group. I think he's a good fit emotionally with this group. And so if that superstar trade doesn't materialize, the Warriors will be more than happy with just rolling with Andrew Wiggins and adding to that core four with draft picks and other free agent additions and just ways like that to supplement this group. We got another question about what else Bob Myers could do this offseason, but first, let's talk about Built Bar. If you're like me, when you get hungry, you can make bad decisions, but the best way to avoid blowing your diet is to be prepared. That's why I always have a box of Built Bars in the kitchen. Not only is this the best tasting protein bar I've ever had, it's the most healthy and it fills me up while I'm busy or on the go. With 18 amazing flavors, including new flavors like caramel brownie, cookies and cream, and apple almond crisp, Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate and soft and easy to chew. They taste like a candy bar, but they're low calorie and low sugar, while also being high in protein and fiber, making them perfect for keto and other low carb diets. So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order plus a free cooler with purchase while supplies last. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. If you haven't already, now is a perfect time to hit that subscribe button to get episodes of Locked On Warriors automatically every day. Our next question comes from Omar, who writes in, is Bob Myers set on reaching for a wing at all costs with the number 2 pick? Would he skip over a good point guard class just to get Andrew Wiggins a backup? I'm not sure that Bob Myers is set on a wing. But I will say this, that he is, and it depends on what you, like, is Anthony, I would consider Anthony Edwards a wing. A lot of people would just say he's a guard. So some people consider wings forwards or whatever. But yeah, I think that this team sees how important length is, understands that they don't have that much length. And this is more than just getting an Andrew Wiggins backup, okay? Getting Andrew Wiggins wasn't enough to fill the need on the perimeter. This is a team, mind you, that lost a year ago Kevin Durant, Andre Iguodala, and Sean Livingston, all long wing players. You don't just replace that with Andrew Wiggins. You probably need two other additions on the perimeter this offseason, right? And one of them, I think, is going to come in the draft, at the top of this draft. I don't see them reaching for a center, and I don't see them going with a guy like LaMelo Ball. And so what's left is wing players like Anthony Edwards, Denny Avia, Devin Vassell, Patrick Williams, Sadiq Bey. These are the guys, right, that make sense for the Warriors because they need to add length. They need to add defensive length specifically. They need to add playmaking too, which is why a guy like Denny Avia is so intriguing. If you didn't listen to the Target Tuesday episode this week, Charles Hamilton and I broke down Denny Avia's game. You can find that in your podcast feed. Again, that went up Tuesday on Locked On Warriors. But I also don't think it would be a reach, right? Because a reach to you is different than a reach for the Warriors. And I've reported this before, but the Warriors, their draft board is going to look very different than other teams' draft boards, especially in the top half of the lottery where they're at, okay? If they end up taking a guy like Denny Avia or Sadiq Bey or Devin Vassell at 2, 3, 4, you know, if they trade back or something like that, some people will say that's a reach, especially if they take a guy like that over a James Wiseman or a LaMelo Ball, these sort of consensus players. Some people would look at that as a reach. The Warriors won't look at that as a reach because on their boards, those guys will be right in line with where they think that they ought to be taken. So they could trade back. They could do something like that. It depends if there's a trade even there. I keep seeing stuff in my Twitter feed, by the way, of, hey, the Warriors should trade down to 8 to the Knicks for Mitchell Robinson in the 8th pick overall. It's like, the Knicks aren't trading Mitchell Robinson to move up from 8 to 2. They're not doing that. Okay, RJ Barrett, Mitchell Robinson, that's part of their core. They're trying to add to that. All right, so, like, I don't, like, there's this, like, trade back with the Hawks and get John Collins. Like, why would the Hawks do that? Like, I don't know that there's a trade back. Like, it's easy enough to just say, oh, Warriors should trade back. But what's the trade, people? What is it? Trade back with Chicago for Wendell Carter Jr.? I've seen that pop up in my Twitter feed. Why would Chicago do that? To move up 2 spots. They just took Wendell Carter Jr. a couple years ago. Why would they do that? Just, yeah, think about it that way. Why would a team in what is considered a weak draft move up 2, 3, 4, 5 spots if it means getting rid of a core player? That's not how that works. All right? And typically in trade-up situations, you see teams trade future draft picks. Now, that may be a possibility. The Warriors may trade back from 1 to 4 or 5 for, you know, the 4th or 5th pick plus a future protected first rounder in 2022. That makes a little bit more sense. And by the way, if I'm the Warriors, that's what I'd be looking for, because I think you just want to stack assets as much as possible instead of just trading back for a veteran who may or may not be part of the rotation. So anyway, I do think that Bob Myers, I think the Warriors in general are leaning toward a wing player in this draft. Deepak writes in, if the Warriors don't get the desired piece from the traded player exception, which veterans on the minimum can they sign to complete the roster, which can help them compete? Again, I go back to wings. We know that they want to add 1 or 2 veterans this offseason. I think you look at guys on the like that could be had for the minimum, like a Mo Harkless, maybe a floor spacing 5 like Myers Leonard. I think I would point directly to center and wing. And if they can add 2 guys, like a veteran center who can either playmake or stretch the floor, and then a wing who could guard a couple different positions and just be a good kind of break in case of emergency type defensive player, right? That to me is what the Warriors would be looking at. Maybe they go after a veteran point guard like a DJ Augustine or something like that. I still think that they would prefer to find playmaking at other positions, non-traditional point guards, because it's just hard to play traditional backup point guards because they typically give up so much defensively. So that's why I like the idea of like a Chris Dunn, right? Like that makes sense to me. But again, if you can't get a guy like Chris Dunn with the mid-level exception or Marc Gasol or Serge Ibaka with the mid-level exception, you start addressing that with minimum salaries in free agency. that'll do it for today. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors wherever you listen to podcasts. Please rate, review, and say nice things about the show. Thanks to Built Bar for sponsoring today's show. You can send your comments and questions to me on Twitter at WC Goldberg or email them to me at WGoldberg@BayAreaNewsGroup.com. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. Have a great weekend.